If you look at images or sculptures from early periods of ancient Egypt, you'll notice that the pharaohs were often depicted as having long and narrow beards. These beards were usually artificial and didn't function as simply style statements, but rather as evidence of high social positioning, essentially royalty. Although beards weren't the normal fashion for men at the time in ancient Egypt, they were associated with the gods. Pharaohs, regardless of their gender, for example, Queen Hatshepsut is often depicted as wearing a false beard. They typically were braided in a tight manner, with hair from goats used as an ingredient in these beards, often dyed or hennaed reddish, and sometimes plated with interwoven gold thread, a style that was thought to be especially godly. The ancient Greek epic myths regarded the beard as a badge or sign of virility, as in the Homeric epics, beards had almost sanctified significance, only shaven as a sign of mourning. Zeus and Poseidon are always portrayed with beards. In Greco-Roman antiquity, the beard was seen as the defining characteristic of the philosopher. Among the Gaelic Celts of Scotland and Ireland, men typically let their facial hair grow into a full beard, and it was often seen as dishonorable for a Gaelic man to have no facial hair. In middle-aged Europe, a beard displayed a knight's virility and honor. Most Chinese emperors of the Ming Dynasty appear with beards or mustaches in portraits. The first emperors of China were Caucasian, by the way, a fact that the corrupt communist leaders try very hard to hide these days. The ancient Iranians were fond of long beards, and almost all the Iranian or Aryan kings had a beard. Men wore long beards with warriors adorning theirs with jewelry. This noble attribution to beards is seen in all Mesopotamian civilizations, whether it be Sumerian, Assyrian, Babylonian, Chaldean, and the Medians. The Zohar, one of the primary sources of Kabbalah, attributes holiness to the beard, specifying that hairs of the beard symbolize channels of subconscious holy energy that flows from above to the human soul. Therefore, most Hasidic Jews, from whom Kabbalah plays an important role in their religious practice, traditionally do not remove or even trim their beards. While many attribute the power to the hair itself, in occult circles it's understood that not shaving or cutting one's hair is taken as a sign of chastity, and therefore heightened willpower, mental clarity, and emotional strength and stability. Fornication, which means ejaculation, when not done for the purpose of reproduction, was seen as a drain of life force, which is why monks and many religions and mystery schools have chastity vows, similar to the biblical story of Samson. Now, I'd like to stress that abstaining did not mean abstaining from sexual activity, but from literally ejaculating. You can check out some of my videos on Vril and Tantra for more on that subject. A barbarian is someone who's perceived by certain city dwellers to be either uncivilized or primitive, but that's not the correct etymology or original contextual meaning of the word. In ancient Greece, the Greeks used the term towards those who did not speak Greek or follow classical Greek customs. And in ancient Rome, the Romans used the term towards tribal non-Romans such as the Germanics, Celts, Gauls, Iberians, Thracians, Illyrians, Berbers, Parthians, and Goths. That said, Cassiodorus was a Roman statesman and renowned scholar of antiquity who stated that the word barbarous was made up of barba, which means beard, and rus, which is flatland. So, for barbarians did not live in cities, making their abodes in the fields like wild animals. That's a quote. The Romans then adapted the term in order to refer to anything that was not Roman. So it was a term for bearded people who lived outside of the cities, whether it be nomadic tribes of bearded men, or farmers and agriculturalists, or shepherds that had beards and lived off the land, the negative connotation coming from the perspective of a city dweller. The native Berbers of North Africa were among the many people called barbarian by the early Romans. The term continued to be used by medieval Arabs before being replaced by Amazigh. In English, the term Berber continues to be used. The term has also been used to refer to people from Barbary, a region encompassing most of North Africa, the Barbary Coast. The Goths were a nomadic German people who fought against Roman rule in the late 300s and early 400s, helping to bring about the downfall of the Roman Empire, which had controlled much of Europe for centuries. The ascendancy of the Goths is said to have marked the beginning of the medieval period in Europe. Gothic architecture is a style that flourished in Europe during the High and Late Middle Ages. It evolved from Romanesque architecture and was succeeded by Renaissance architecture. Originating in the 12th century France, it was widely used, especially for cathedrals and churches, until the 16th century. Probably the most famous example of Gothic architecture is the Notre Dame Cathedral. The Goths were a Germanic people that played an important role in the fall of Rome through the long series of Gothic wars and the emergence of medieval Europe. They dominated a vast area which at its peak possibly extended all the way from the Danube to the Don and from the Baltic Sea to the Black Sea. They spoke the Gothic language, one of the extinct East Germanic languages, and the Visigoths were the western branch of the Germanic tribes referred to collectively as the Goths. And Alaric was the first king of the Visigoths, best known for his sack of Rome in 410, which marked a decisive event in the decline of the Western Roman Empire.
Alaric's sack of Rome could be likened to the end of the world for the Roman psyche. The fact that Rome, the eternal city, the greatest city in the history of planet Earth to this point, has been sacked at will by the barbarians is a shock from which Roman civilization will never recover.
The sack of Rome in 410 must have been a clarion call to all people that Rome was vulnerable. But it was also a clarion call to barbarians that this could be done. Remember that the Goths were inside of Roman territory. They were operating theoretically on Rome's behalf, but Rome hadn't given them territory to settle on and produce their own agricultural goods and so forth. So Alaric needed to become a commander and take his troops into battle in order to continue to get money and supplies from the Romans.
What he really wanted to do was find some measure of independence, some place where he could actually keep his people to himself without having to serve under the eagle.
And this is what Alaric effectively does by being elected king.
Kings had always existed outside the Roman Empire. By making himself a king instead of a general, Alaric was effectively saying that he was not going to be a subject of the Roman Empire anymore.
Alaric is so livid about the betrayals that he's undergone that he lays siege to Rome, and it's a siege that lasts for 18 months.
By surrounding Rome, by attacking Rome, he holds the empire to ransom.
The siege has been going on for too long. It appears that he's never going to take the city.
In order to end the siege, Alaric proposes that he will walk away from the city. He enters into unilateral negotiations with Rome and he makes them a peace offering of slaves.
What Alaric has given them is effectively a Trojan horse. These slaves are not any old slaves, they're actually 300 of his finest warriors. The slaves have completely infiltrated the city. They go on the rampage, they kill, they slaughter, and they open the gates to the waiting Goths who are outside.
On some level, Alaric had gotten exactly what he wanted. He had wanted to besiege Rome, he had wanted to take Rome. But what did he really want? He really wanted a place for his people to settle. He wanted them to have a place to stay.
So the long-term outcome of the sack of Rome is the acceptance by the empire of the Goths as permanent interlopers within its borders.
Alaric didn't enjoy his success for very long. He died very shortly after the siege of Rome. His people were briefly at a loss. Eventually, though, his successor saw his followers to a permanent settlement in what's now the south of France. After almost 40 years, and with very few of the same people obviously alive, the Goths found a permanent settlement and found a place where a permanent Gothic kingdom could arise.
Here are two more depictions of King Alaric with a beard, unlike the actor in the clip you just watched from the History Channel. The first Greek references to the Goths called them Scythians and regarded them as barbarians. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. Please consider reading my books available on Amazon. They make a great gift. Thank you for liking and sharing. Please subscribe to be notified of new content. See you next time.